It's coming up on 9 minutes after six on this Tuesday morning from FM 106, and it's time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show. We join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade from yesterday. Corn for May finished up 1.5 cents to 379 3/4. July corn was up 1 3/4 to 389 1/4. And September corn was up 2 cents to 395 1/4. Soybeans for May were up 2 3/4 to 906 1/2. July beans were at 920, up 2 3/4 as well. And August beans were at 926, also up 2 3/4. Chicago wheat for May was up 3.5 to 469 1/2. July wheat was at 475, up 2 1/4 cents. And September Chicago wheat was up 4 cents to 483 1/2. Soybean meal was up 10 cents to 315.10 per ton. July bean meal was up 20 cents to 318.40. And August bean meal was up 20 cents as well to 319.70. Finally, soybean oil for May was up 16 cents to 28.82. July bean oil was also up 16 cents to 29.14. And August bean oil was also up 16 cents to 29.27. Now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for Monday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois cut grain price were higher on Monday afternoon as the trade awaits updates from both U.S.-China trade and Friday's USDA prospective plantings and quarterly stocks report. In northern West Illinois, cut grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 1 to 2 cents at 333 to 358. Soybean bids were mostly 2 to 3 cents higher at 822 to 862. In central Illinois, cut grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 1 to 3 cents at 346 to 362. Soybean bids are 2 to 3 cents higher at 838 to 868. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 1 to 2 cents at 336 to 372. Soybean bids were 2 to 3 cents higher at 832 to 867. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were mixed at 869 to 882. Basis was steady to down 5 at 3800 to 25 under the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $293.10 to $305.10 a ton, up 10 cents to $2.10 a ton, while basis unchanged at $2210 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were up 2 to 3 cents at $362 to $375, while basis steady to up 1 at $1800 to $15 under the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids mixed at $360 to $368. With basis unchanged to down 4 at 20 under to 12 under the May. Soybeans ended up 2 to 3 cents at 8.56 to 8.64, with basis steady to down 1 at 51 under to 43 under the May. New crop wheat prices were 4 cents higher at 4.45 to 4.70, with basis unchanged to 30 under to 5 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal obvious place their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents higher at 3.82 to 3.83. These elevators raised their soybean prices 3 to 4 cents, quotations at 877 to 878. So if we closed up 4 to 5 cents at 497 to 498, and Milo ended the day 2 cents higher at 406 to 408. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 346 to 372, soybeans at 854 to 885. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 357 to 373, soybeans at 875 to 897, and in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 344 to 377, soybeans at 866 to 897, and June-July wheat at 449 to 477. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from Monday. Live cattle for April were down $2.15 to $127.57. June live cattle were down $2.37 to $121.12. And August live cattle were down $2.05 to $117.97. March feeder cattle were down 82 cents to 142.17. April feeders were down $2.60 to 146.20. And May feeders were down $3.35 to $150.70. Lean hogs for April were up 32 cents to 78.65. May lean hogs were down 27 cents to 86.75. And finally, June lean hogs were down 12 cents to 95.55. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois and U.S. Departments of Agriculture for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $2.55 higher in a range of $60 to $74 with the weighted average carcass price of $68.82. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are steady with light to moderate demand for light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 28 to 33, 4 to 500 pounds at 31 to 36, 5 to 600 pounds at 34 to 39, over 600 pounds at 38 to 43. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and guts at the country buying points are a dollar higher with good demand for moderate offerings ranging from 38 to 46. Receipts for Illinois barrows and guts total 25,820. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 242.96 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $80.20, which was $2.41 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $2.29, which was 9 cents lower, with select carcasses at $2.18.73, which was 9 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 119,000 compared to 115,000 for last week and 115,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 474,000 compared to 463,000 for last week and 459,000 for 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show on this Tuesday morning. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. Efforts continue to help flooded Midwest farmers after historic flooding submerged parts of four states. President Donald Trump has already issued disaster declarations for numerous counties in Iowa and Nebraska, where losses were put at more than $3 billion, including hundreds of millions to agriculture. American Farm Bureau Executive Director Dale Moore says farmers are also helping each other.
The Nebraska Farm Bureau has started a special fund that they are going to be managing to help producers that have been hard hit. And I know a number of the other states are likely to take similar types of action.
The Nebraska Fund supplements federal disaster aid for temporary housing, home repairs, and uninsured losses, plus whatever Congress approves in the coming weeks. Moore says a bomb cyclone and the threat of more flooding from icy tributaries that feed into the Missouri River come at an especially bad time.
For many parts of that area, they were in the middle of calving season, and when you lose your not only your calves, but you're losing, you know, herd, the livestock losses are huge, crop planting getting pushed back.
Ag losses in Iowa alone are estimated at $214 million. Though Moore says individual losses are hard to nail down.
I'm not doubting any of the stories that we're picking up on because, you know, the men and women that are being impacted are in a much better position to let folks know just how hard hit they've been by this.
The damages go beyond the value of cash, as some fear that the latest losses on top of existing ones could be their last. In international news, the Department of Agriculture reports China last week made another 2.6 million bushel purchase of U.S. sorghum to the delight of national sorghum producers. China also announced significant purchases of U.S. corn last week as well. The purchase occurred as China confirmed continuing the ongoing trade talks with the United States. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Secretary of the Treasury Steven Mnuchin will meet with Chinese constituents in Beijing later this week. President Trump has also made comments saying he is pleased with the positive direction that the U.S.-China trade negotiations have taken. Concerns remain, however, after President Trump said last week he would keep tariffs in place on $250 billion worth of Chinese goods until it is clear Beijing is complying with any trade deal that is reached. That could be further concerning if China doesn't agree to remove trade tariffs on the United States ag products implemented as part of last year's tit-for-tat trade war. Still, signs remain that the trade talks are progressing and could be finalized by early this summer. Continuing on with trade news, a long-term outlook from the Department of Ag predicts trade will continue to dictate the ag sector over the next decade. Specifically, the report says that over the next several years, the agricultural sector will continue to adjust to the ongoing China-U.S. trade dispute. The USDA's Agriculture Projections to 2028 report, out this week, shows an improved environment, including a continued increase in trade, supports showing global demand for ag products. However, slowing global economic growth rates and a relatively strong dollar are expected to weigh on growth in the United States' agricultural exports. The 102-page report does predict increases in nearly all U.S. agricultural exports, adding developing countries will continue to account for most of the growth. However, regarding China, the trade tariffs are limiting demand, and the report assumes those tariffs to continue through the projection period. Any trade outcome with China could drastically change U.S. exports to China, making the trade talks a vital step for the next decade. In other news, farmers indicate they may plant less corn than previously thought by the Department of Agriculture, according to the annual Farm Futures Planting Survey. The survey of 1,000 producers nationwide says that after planting more soybeans than corn in 2018 for the first time in 35 years, farmers want to return to more normal rotations this spring. However, with the impact of trade tariffs, weather, and current conditions in the farm economy, many are looking for alternative crops. The survey reported corn acreage at 90.9 million, up 1.7 million from last year. The 1.9% increase was less than the 92 million in the USDA's forecast over the winter. Farmers expect soybean placings at 85.9 million, down 3.3 million or 3.7% from last year. Still, soybean acres are reported higher than the 85 million USDA had forecasted recently. The survey also found winter wheat plantings are expected at 31.3 million acres, which would drop all wheat seedings to 45.9 million, down 2.4 million or 5% from 2018. That would be the lowest total since 100 years ago in 1919. Congressman Rodney Davis joined me for a short interview, and in our conversation, we talked about infrastructure and progress on implementation of the 2018 Farm Bill.
Well, I think with the release of the Mueller report showing that it's over, the investigation's over, no collusion with the Trump campaign and any Russia operatives that was investigated for 2 years at a cost of over $25 million in taxpayer funds, what that means is we can get together and hopefully come up with a solution when it comes to infrastructure investment. The president wants to do it. I certainly hope that we can come together in Congress to ensure that that happens. That's what it's going to take to invest the federal dollars, your tax dollars, into projects that are going to help rebuild our crumbling roads and our crumbling bridges. I took Interstate 39 from my home in Taylorville up to Winnebago County yesterday, and it was a disaster. So that's just one roadway. We see it all over, and we got to do more, and we need to demand bipartisanship when it comes to investing in infrastructure spending.
And a few other things also going on in the local area that can kind of impact the infrastructure is the flooding up north. Eventually, that's going to come our way here in central Illinois, and plus with all the rain as well, we could have flooding on a more major scale that hasn't been seen in a few years.
Yeah, I agree, and I think we need to be prepared for it. I was with the mayor of Grafton just last week down in Jerseyville, and he's concerned. Obviously, a river community like Grafton needs to be prepared. We've seen the flooding in Nebraska. The good news is we're not seeing the flooding on the east side of the Mississippi as much as the west side, and we've got to do everything we can to be prepared in case we get some more torrential rent downpours while that snow melt and ice packs melting and coming downstream. The good news is if we get a disaster that really harms our public facilities and our publicly owned infrastructure, I've changed the law in Washington to allow FEMA to not punish states like Illinois and take into consideration more localized impacts when we see a public infrastructure damage. Because in the past, Illinois had to reach an unattainable level in the downstate communities that I serve when compared to surrounding states. That's changed, and we look forward to working with FEMA and making sure that they implement that rule the next time a disaster happens.
One more item you've been working on also is the implementation with the Farm Bill. How's that going?
You know, because of the government shutdown and because many USDA employees were furloughed at the end of last year and into this year, it's going slower than anticipated. Although I sat down with some USDA FSA workers just a week and a half ago in Champaign, and they're excited. They're working hard to get that guidance and then be able to be the face of that guidance with our farmers and our producers. So they're doing everything they can, slower than what we thought, but I know everybody's moving in the right direction.
All right, in just a few minutes here, Rodney, anything else you'd like to add or anything we see here going throughout the spring and summer that you'd like to just talk about a little bit?
Well, I'm really looking forward to putting this whole Mueller investigation behind the administration. We need to get behind the president and his administration so that we can work together and get things done in a bipartisan way. I certainly hope that Speaker Pelosi and Chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, don't continue down this path of just a far-left push toward impeaching the president and thus stopping any progress we can make on implementing the Farm Bill, investing in new roads and new bridges and repairs to those existing infrastructure opportunities. So let's make sure that we send that message to all of our elected officials, not just in Washington, but also in Springfield and down into our local communities. Let's work together. Get things done.
And again, that was Congressman Rodney Davis of Taylorville. For this Tuesday morning, March 26th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.